What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
The most specialist of guests.
Indeed. Yes. You nailed it this time.
Yeah?
I'm so fine with this. We're on the same page today.
Right, but I am the most special person here. I agree.
Wow, I really had to think about that.
Yeah, you keep thinking about it. I'm going to tell people that they can decide for themselves if they get one of our person cards, because it sort of lists both options as the other host or the most specialist guest, but the other host has like a strike through.
Yes.
Through it.
Right. Yes, exactly. Yeah. We've already ordered the cards. So
right. We've already ordered the cards.
So they are what they are.
You've
been struck out.
I've been struck out for now.
To get people up to speed, in case you're unaware, right now we're running a special offer over on our Patreon, where if you sign up at any of the three tiers, all of which are the same value, you will receive a stainless steel metal person card.
Yes.
That is like laser engraved.
It's like the Popcorn Culture logo has been like cut out
so you can see through it.
See straight through it.
Yeah. So like if you're sitting in class and you want to like etch something, the Popcorn Culture logo,
you'd be able to do it. Oh my gosh. People are going to be able to just like graffiti the logo wherever they want.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, exactly. The true purpose. They're going to be able to green mallard association the Popcorn Culture logo just wherever they want.
Wherever they want.
With their handy bottle of spray paint that everyone carries with them.
At all times.
Yeah,
of course.
Just like, they'll just hold it up to the wall. Psst, to say Popcorn Culture, and people will be like, what's this? I don't know.
For legal reasons, we don't recommend doing this.
We don't recommend doing that, but if you want to like etch it in pencil, you know, I mean,
that seems just as cool.
That seems just as cool.
And this will be, as of you listening to this episode, this will be the last week where they are available per sign up, because the offer will expire on Sunday, October 25th, which is my 31st birthday.
Yes. And despite it saying the most specialist guest on the card, should the day ever come, if and when the Patreon votes push me into the title of one true host and I get to sit with the Popcorn Culture trophy on my side of the desk.
We do have a trophy.
Yeah. We'll, of course, just expect everyone to use the honor system and just cross it out on Ben's side and pencil in on my side, true host.
I don't like this
idea.
Just a
permanent marker on Ben's side, right there, gone.
But permanent marker is like, you can't, like, yeah, I would use dry erase marker, because let's face it, it's not going to last for very long.
Okay. Let me tell you something about dry erase markers versus permanent markers. So everyone has that problem with the dry erase board where someone will write on it in Sharpie and it's like, oh, I can't erase this. That was permanent marker.
Right.
Okay. So I came across this like life hack once upon a time on the internet that was like, if you want to erase it, all you have to do is color over the spot someone wrote with permanent marker with the dry erase marker, and then when you erase it, it'll erase both. And I was like,
that doesn't sound like it's possible.
I was like, that doesn't sound like it would work. But of course I wanted to try it. But then I was like, wait.
Is this the joke?
I was like, now if I try it, I will be such a sucker. But you know what? I tried it and it worked.
What?
I could not believe it.
Because it seems like the permanent marker would be a layer beneath the now dry erase marker, like laying upon its surface.
Yes, it's possible that, I mean, I made a very small mark with a permanent marker. I suppose it's possible that if you wipe it up fast enough, it just hasn't dried.
It would just come off.
Maybe something like that's what was happening.
Everyone at home is so leery. They're like, what a fun fact. But now I can't go and try it.
Do you remember in high school, there was a similar fact, which is that like the biology or the genetics of like an egg are such that they're so perfect that if you squeeze it in your hand, it won't break.
Yes.
Yes. And of course you're like, what a fun fact. Want to try it? And you're like, well, but, you know, if you're wrong, it's like, is this a true fact and it's not going to break? Or are you just trying to trick me into breaking an egg in my hand?
No, I know. And that's because it feels like such a gag. It's like you hand it and you're like, you're holding it and you're like, oh man, like if I just squeeze this real hard, I'm just going to have quite literal egg on my hand.
Yes. You will have egg on your hand. And it's like, to this day, I don't know. Cause we actually did try it.
We did try it.
Like we all just like, obviously GMA. It was you and me and Mike and John, we all just decided together. We don't know if this is a real fact or not. We're all going to try it.
Yes.
But here's the thing. It's so hard to know, who knows. Cause it's very easy to fake gripping something hard.
It is. Even myself doing it, I quite literally don't know, because in my mind it seems like it should break.
Yeah.
And so like when I squeeze, I'm like, I know that I'm not squeezing as hard as I possibly can, but I do feel like I'm squeezing harder than I would expect it to be for the egg to break.
I agree.
And so I almost even feel like I have tested this myself. I have like attempted it, and I think that it's true. But then there's also the part of me that's like, or am I just lying to myself? Because right, like, because I don't really know. Yeah.
Well, the other thing is like, you also have to be able to apply pretty even pressure on all sides of the egg. So even if you are gripping it and believing it to be true, it's possible you just like press down harder with your fingertips or something, and that breaks the effect.
I think, because I think you're exactly right. And I think that's what it would come down to, is that if you were to grip your fingers into it, then I do believe that it would break, right? Because yeah, I think that the amount of pressure you could apply with your fingers would be more than enough, you know, per square, whatever inch of the surface area of the egg in order to cause fracturing to occur.
Right.
And therefore egg on hand.
Exactly.
It's so funny because this whole egg like gag applies to so many things. I've heard before that you can give eggs to children and they will just instinctively know to be careful with them. Like there's like a built in, like, that, like if you were to,
that sounds like, okay, let me see. Well, that didn't work. But that's the joke.
You could test it with Luke in the backyard just to see what would happen.
Well, he knows about eggs. He helps me crack them for breakfast on many days.
Oh, okay. So he's way too aware at this point.
He likes to crack them, and he likes to use the whisk and stir them up.
Okay. Okay.
And it's actually a weird situation where, like, to me, when I get whisking my eggs, I get like aggressive.
You know? Oh, same.
I'm like, gotta get that air in there. Gotta get that fluffiness.
Right.
Gotta get that fluffiness. My wife, the Beth, is the complete opposite. She does not like heavily whipped eggs. Like, I know the appropriate way is to like whip as much air in as possible to get the fluff.
Yeah.
She wants it like just barely mixed up so that like the white and the yellow is still fairly separated as it scrambles. I know. So anyway, that's the way, that's about as effective as Luke can stir it though, because he doesn't have like the, you know, the wrist strength to really whip it in there.
Really whip it.
So he'll just, yeah.
Luke makes mom's favorite eggs.
Exactly.
Oh, well, that's kind of adorable.
It is adorable.
That works out.
It does work out.
Okay, here's a question for you on scrambled eggs then, just as long as we're talking about it. I got through my entire life without ever hearing the pro tip to add a little bit of like milk to the scrambled eggs to give it a little extra whip.
Is it to give it extra whip, or to just give it like extra like creaminess?
Well, I don't know. Yeah. This is a good question. I assumed because if you were to take cream and like, you know, whip it aggressively, you'd get whipped cream.
Well, that's true. I thought about it.
You
like
know,
that.
as the name.
But are you
suggests.
Putting like heavy whipping cream into your scrambled eggs?
No, I'm not. But I guess I just assumed that heavily whipped, even like, you know, 2% milk would foam, would like froth, would add additional aeration to the mix.
I guess I was assuming it was more about adding like, yeah, flavor and creaminess rather than it was about extra whip.
One way or another, I didn't know to do it.
Meaning,
I would not say we were taught this way.
I don't think we were taught this way, but I don't know if this is like the appropriate way to do eggs or if it's like a hack or if it's just personal preference.
Sure.
Certainly in our home, the personal preference was not add milk.
To not add milk.
Certainly what you're doing, no matter what, is adding more calories to the eggs.
Right. That's a good point.
I will, if I make the eggs just for me, I call them fat eggs.
Oh.
So what I do
with
is...
With a pH? It sounds
no,
like a pH.
Nope, with an F.
Oh, okay.
Fat eggs. Okay. So I will put my eggs in, and then I will put milk in, and then I'll also put butter in.
Oh, wow.
Into the eggs. Then I will whisk for maximum aeration.
Okay.
Then I will put butter in the pan instead of like oil.
You're kidding.
No.
Man.
Yeah. Butter in the pan. Scramble them up.
Yep.
Real nice. Get them out. Cheese on top.
Yep.
Yeah. Also salt at like pretty much every stage.
Oh, love it. Okay. So one thing about salt that I've been like, I don't know why I don't just order it on Amazon because like that would be the solution. But I keep seeing in like TikToks or like little quick cooking videos and stuff, people using like flaky salt.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh man, flaky salt looks so good. And I haven't gotten it yet. But for some reason, the idea of flaky salt just is like, it appeals to me.
Yeah.
It's like, that does seem like the superior salt.
Well, it depends. The salt you use depends on what you're using it on.
Oh,
I can tell you, at least very appropriately, let me give you a popcorn example here on the
Hey-o.
Pop. So I love to make like stovetop popcorn.
Yeah.
As you might expect, given the name of our show.
Right. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
We all grew up in the same house.
I have, if No, microwave popcorn will never be allowed in my house.
Oh, okay.
Just at all. We don't. If Beth bought it, I'd be like, this is going right in the garbage. This is ridiculous.
Right in the garbage.
Right, like, forget it.
I am offended you even brought it into our house.
She would never.
Oh, good. Yeah. Way to go, Beth.
Way to go.
Looking out.
I wouldn't throw it away. I would just, it'd probably just sit there forever. And anyway, not the point. Point is, when I do it, like I pour the, once you get the oil going, you get your kernels in on the stove,
yep.
That's when I put the salt on,
okay.
Like while it's, you know, in there. And
oh, wait, while it's like pre-pop.
Yeah, pre-pop.
Oh, I actually don't do it that way.
Oh, yeah.
That's fascinating.
That is
okay.
The way I do it. And okay. Then you get like this nice even, it like gets into the oil and gets all over the kernels and they just like are.
It does add up. Now that you say it like
salted
that.
Salted everywhere.
Yeah.
Pro tip, y'all. Pro tip. So anyway, you know, if you watch the Food Network or any cooking amount of shows, whenever they're adding salt, it's always kosher salt. It's
always
this big, coarse, throw it in, kosher salt, get your salt dish right there.
Right.
Boom. Well, let me tell you, I was like, one day we happened to be out of, you know, regular iodized table salt or whatever.
Sure.
So I was like, hey, you know what? We've got kosher salt. I'm just going to, it's probably better anyway, as if it makes any difference at this point.
Right.
But it did make a big difference. So
improvement. Or
no,
worse.
No, oh, worse.
A disprovement.
A disprovement.
Is that a word?
So I don't know. Like, yeah, basically what happened, I used the same amount of salt.
Okay.
So I use like a teaspoon.
Okay.
And
for the folks at home, the kernels at home, you were making a gesturing method as if you scrape off a flat teaspoon. Like, so you put it into your teaspooner.
Yeah.
And then do you hand smooth it?
Hand smooth it.
Hand smooth it, not knife smooth it?
Not knife smooth it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's extra dishes.
Extra dishes, if I get that. Yeah, yeah. Okay. No,
come on now. As if salt itself is just getting your dishes dirty.
Filthy. Yes.
You know, but I put it in there and basically kosher salt will melt,
okay.
I think. In a way, and it made everything like way too salty.
No way.
It was like horribly salty.
Okay.
In a bad way. And I later learned, I saw some, I don't know, like pictograph online that was like occasions to use kosher salt versus this salt. And I was like, wow, I didn't really think there was such a difference or whatever.
Such a breakdown.
So, but yeah, so anyway, if you're making popcorn, stovetop popcorn, regular table salt is what you want to use.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, fun fact.
So, all right, this is not, I don't even know if it's a fun fact. This is like another one of those moments in life where I witness something and then I still, it's like the egg thing.
Yeah.
Like, can you squeeze an egg as hard as you want and it won't break because it's the perfect design? I don't know. Similarly, can you put granulated sugar into a food processor and process it to make powdered sugar?
Oh, I don't know. I'm never worried about it.
Okay. I saw the video where somebody was doing this and they were like, fun fact, do people not know this? Like, if you don't have powdered sugar, just put it in your food processor and make powdered sugar because it's just sugar that's been like finely ground, basically.
Right.
And like all of the logic is there. It's almost like the whipped cream example. It's like, well, I have cream. If I whip it, will I get whipped cream?
Right. Is the title that descriptive? That's not, it's a marketing word, not right, not like a descriptor.
Right. It's like it describes the consistency of this, like of jet puffed cream effectively.
Right. It's not the process.
I can't take a crunchy Cheeto, whisk it up really good, and get a puffed Cheeto. You know?
Right.
Like
you just blow it with your leaf blower. You get a Cheeto. Boom! cheese noodles.
That's
the thing you can put on TikTok. Be like, do people not know? Cheese noodles.
This is how it's done.
It's just Cheetos leaf blower.
You just put it like the tip of the leaf blower into the bag, fire it up, and like whatever comes bursting out the back of the bag.
Dude, you have to make this TikTok.
I'll consider it. But yeah, so yeah, that's my question to throw out there to you guys is powdered sugar as simple as sugar that is powdered?
It doesn't matter now if people send you video proof because you still won't trust it.
I still won't trust it.
I know.
I mean,
you could just try doing this.
I do have a food processor.
The problem is like, even if you try this privately, if it turns out not to be true, the embarrassment will be just as real. You'll be like, yeah.
I've
been put on display. I've been made a fool.
Yes.
I've wasted one cup of sugar and now I have to rinse off my food processor and no one will ever know, but I fell for it.
I
can't believe how gullible.
Yeah, yeah. And that's I can't have that. It'd be like holding a broken egg just right in the middle of your hand. And and I can't. That would be just humiliating.
Yeah.
Although, so on that note, though, going back to our Cheetos example for a Mo, one thing that has forever baffled me, and I should have just, you know, seen like how it's made on it or something, but how do they jet puff anything?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I need to know what this process is.
There's got to be, like a how it's made about that. Certainly you can just YouTube the answer out of this.
A jet puffer?
Yeah.
Like what is a Cheeto before it's a Cheeto?
Yeah. Well, are Cheetos jet puffed or are cheese doodles?
Well, cheese doodles, I guess. Right. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of cheese doodle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is cheese doodle a brand or is...
To me, I think cheese doodle is a brand and Cheeto is a brand.
Okay.
I think they are both separate brands, but
Mom buy cheese doodles growing up?
Mom did cheese doodles, which are like the U-shaped puffed.
Yeah, where's version. The puff come from?
Yeah, I don't know. Or does it start puffy and the Cheeto is like the condensed?
Hang on, let me get that again. Does it start puffy and then so like the hard Cheeto is almost like a vacuum sealed puff?
Exactly. You just put your cheese noodles in a vacuum.
Turn that leaf blower on backwards, suck the air clean out. Condense it down. That's the thing. All cheese doodles can be Cheetos if they try hard enough.
And vice versa. Apparently. This is how it goes.
It is kind of a very what came first, the grape or the raisin type of question, is it not?
The grape definitely comes before the raisin.
Well, but we know we've seen grapes before.
Yeah.
But what is the grape in the analogy of the Cheeto?
Oh, right. Which one is the grape?
Right.
Is the cheese doodle or the Cheeto the grape?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I don't know.
We're getting real deep into food science. Speaking of which, do you have a corny joke for us today?
I believe that I do have a corny joke. It's a little interactive, if you will.
Oh.
So I have this actually came from a colonel.
Okay.
The question is, if you could have any superpower, what would it be? And your answer needs to say, I would control an element.
I have to say I would control an element?
You have to say I would control an element.
I would control an element.
The element of surprise! That's how it's written. In all caps.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I allow you to tell them how to answer.
Yeah, you have to tell them how to answer.
Yeah.
And then it's the element of surprise.
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you really have to stair step this joke.
Oh, yeah. Which I did. I think you did. Expertly, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. This sounds like the less effective version of interrupting Cal.
Yeah, I know that.
Okay. Which is the best knock knock joke, by the way.
Interrupting Cal.
Moo.
Moo.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get you.
Yeah.
I get it. Okay, so on that note, what superpower would you actually have, though? This is not a corny joke. This is me asking you.
Are you
going
to yell element of surprise again?
Jay, do you think the element of surprise could be a good... Let's explore that for a moment. The element of surprise, that's your superpower. I actually believe it would be useful.
I think it would. I mean, how many times in a show or a story... What?
Sorry, I'm just imagining the element of surprise. Like, in my mind, that is the name of this superhero. Like, the superhero's name is the element of surprise. And
beware!
And it's also... The element of surprise! It's also the character's declaration at all times. Because the way that it would work would be you'd, watch the villain, about to commit the evil act. Yeah. And then just unexpectedly, the element of surprise shows up. There's no build-up whatsoever.
That'd be such an interesting show where every single episode, you're just watching someone go through their life, setting up some sort of plan. And all you know as the viewer is that at some point the element of surprise is going to burst into the room and do something, but you never see them off screen, off at home.
Right.
Doing their thing. It's just all of a sudden, boom, the element of surprise.
It would leave you in anxious anticipation for every single episode. Yes, all of the time.
All of the time.
But see, okay, this is what I want. I want to start something here. I want to start the idea that this is the best superpower.
Okay.
Because this is a question people always ask, and I feel like it's such a funny response.
My superpower would be the element of surprise. No one ever sees me coming.
No, especially because if you're equipped for it and someone's hey, what would your superpower be? The element of surprise. Like, it almost comes with its own element of surprise. Like,
It does.
The speed at which you answer the question is the element of surprise.
You have to be ready.
And then, like, you could ask the person after doing this to them, like, you were surprised, weren't you? Just, like, bask in the glory of that. There's nothing better than being surprised.
Yeah. Well, that's always... It is... Like, yeah, whenever you're reading a story or, like, watching a show, you know, you'll always have someone rationalize that despite, well, there's six of us and 10,000 of them, but at least we have the element of surprise.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's such a strength.
I know. It's like, we have no idea. They don't see it coming. We can, you know, that's how Ramsay Bolton defeats Stannis, right? He's just, hey, you want to wait for the battle to start? How about I roll these giant flaming boulders into your entire camp with six guys in the middle of the night? Elemental surprise! You lose!
Hey, you lose!
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I'm telling you, it's powerful.
It is.
If anything, it's OP. It's people are going to be like, oh, you can't say that. It's OP. Like, yeah. It's like super speed.
Yeah.
Isn't that like the actual, like... Like, when it comes down to it, like, the only thing it can be to speedster is another speedster.
If you watch The Flash long enough, for sure, all problems can be solved by running fast.
Yes. Well, it almost seems like for all superheroes, it always seems like their strength ends up being beneficial in some way.
Yes. But, like, the Flash can manifest almost any power he wants by running fast.
Right. You know? Right, right. Well, because the thing about... running fast and fast enough, or the ability to move with that like rapid of motion,
yeah,
is that you can effectively like stop time.
Yes.
Because you start dealing with like such relativity.
You can even reverse time depending on how fast you're going.
That's frustrating.
You can enter and exit time whenever you please.
I feel like it's reached the point where I'm uninterested.
Yeah. See,
this it's OP.
This is
like the element of surprise, of course.
That is true. No matter what superpower you're against, at the moment of victory can always be ruined by the element of surprise.
Right.
Yeah, that's my superpower.
That's why nobody ever expects it.
Yeah.
It also makes for the least satisfying stories ever, because we, the audience, also have to be fooled by the element of surprise.
Right.
And therefore, like, there's no build up to it. Like,
right.
Like, we can't know what their plan is.
Would it always, like, manifest itself differently?
I believe it would.
Yeah. This is like when people's power is like, I'm lucky. And you're like, that's not a superpower. But in fact, they demonstrate that it is.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I was considering that same thought. Like, is the element of surprise just the same thing as being lucky? Like, right. It almost always means that you are going to be in the right place at the right time in order to enact the element of surprise.
Right. Yeah. Well, like, you have no control over the element of surprise. Life will just dictate you to the right spot. Surprise!
Would that be their catchphrase?
I don't know. Okay. I'm totally in on this, though. I'm totally in on the element of surprise and the superpower.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Maybe we have talked, I think, on Dear Hank and John, they always have, like, the interjection periodically. It's another podcast where they'll say, like, oh, my God, it's burning!
Right, yes.
And, like, because people were listening to the podcast while cooking, and it was, like, their way of, like, helping remind people.
Remind the people.
Yeah, exactly.
That, maybe, hold on. While stop what you're doing. Check the stove. Oh, my God, it's burning.
And before you know it, it's the element of surprise.
Element of surprise.
Yes.
All right. Well, nobody expects the hyperspace whales. What can I say? Well, that was a callback to our recent worst performing video. But
oh, the Super Carlin Brothers video about Thrawn is coming.
About Thrawn is coming. Mandalorian
okay.
theory.
Okay. This is the thing, though. I like to think, so worst performing video on our channel in years?
Maybe.
Quite some time.
Yeah.
This occasionally happens, more frequently than not with Star Wars content, where we will make a video that just like drastically underperforms and you're like, whoo, we missed it today. Like, well, we either went too deep, too obscure, too something. But this particular one, I think, is going to end up being like just a late payday. That's all.
That's Ben, nothing could convince me further that Thrawn is the like last thing you will see on season 2 of The Mandalorian.
Right.
Like, I'm so positive of it.
Right.
I am, like, it is, like, since they revealed that Ahsoka is going to be in season 2 of The Mandalorian, which comes out in, like, 11 days at this point.
From
the day we're recording it. I was just doing the math. I'm like, There's no way for Ahsoka to be in it without Thrawn being the villain. Like, especially because you have this guy who showed up with the Darksaber at the end of season 1.
Right.
He's just like, he's going to be like the season 2 villain. But they're going to get rid of him. And it's not going to matter because season 3 villain is going to be Thrawn. And it's going to be so much better.
See, but here's the thing though. So it's okay because we're just ahead. That's all. I like to think that we're ahead.
Yeah.
And so what's going to happen is that particular video, well, as context is now applied.
Yeah.
People are going to be like, wait a second. Who? What?
Yeah.
This guy with red eyes?
Exactly.
And he's blue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's so weird to me because if you're into Star Wars at all, it's almost impossible not to have come across like images of Thrawn.
Sure.
To like wonder like, if you exist in the Star Wars space, no doubt you have seen images of this character. He's like, yeah, he's blue. He has this striking blue face and this dark hair and these bright red eyes. And he's always in this like white uniform and he looks evil. And really, he's like, he's not necessarily evil. He's just sort of like a very powerful weapon that the Empire happens to control.
Sure.
But whoever Thrawn pledges his allegiance to, that's great news for them.
Sure. Yeah.
But he's like, yeah, he's just a very loyal person, and that happens to be who he's loyal to. I'm not doing a good job with it.
It's okay. Okay. No, so, I mean, what it comes down to, though, is I think that we're putting ourselves in an interesting position to have a very compelling, like, antagonist, if you will. Yeah, is it okay to call it an antagonist instead of a villain? More appropriate?
I think he's going to, my guess is that he's going to serve maybe as more of like a, not villain. Yeah, but like, I don't know if like anti-hero is even the best word. But I think he is like the heroes will reluctantly have to work with him.
Okay.
And he will be helped because the Empire will be gone. So like what his motivations are going to be questionable. But no doubt, I'm calling my shot right now. It's totally going to be Thrawn. He's coming.
Okay.
You just wait.
Okay.
Wait, Star Wars people.
The seven people who are still with us.
They're like, hey, I didn't see that coming. You know why? Element of surprise!
We came full circle.
We did.
It all worked out. It all worked out.
Nobody expects the hyperspace whales. Do you also, we'll just continue down. Do you have a fun fact about coyotes for us?
And now, a fun fact about coyotes.
I'm excited.
I know. It's so great. It actually, the fun fact about coyotes just sneaks in with a total element of surprise. So I actually think this is just interesting about coyotes because they don't have like a specific environment that they're found within because they are highly adaptable to all environments.
Really?
Really.
So they exist like worldwide?
I think mostly they exist in North America.
Okay.
As like the primary region in which they exist. But I just think it's interesting because they will eat anything. They're scavengers. And so it's like, I think more commonly they're going to live like in deserts and grasslands and forests and stuff like that, like where you would expect there just to be more food than barren wasteland.
Sure.
Anyway, but yeah, no. Just coyotes. They can huck it wherever they go.
They're just, you know.
They're ready.
They're adventurers. Yeah.
But okay, here's the thing. So coyotes are not dogs, and dogs are not wolves, but we have dogs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I was like unexpectedly like older in life. I think I was like maybe like 23 when it finally occurred to me that dogs as we know them are like, they don't exist in the wild. Like,
oh, right.
You know, like there's no such thing as like stumbling upon like a wild Yorkshire Terrier.
Sure.
Like they're not just out there feeding on mushrooms in the hills of Ireland.
Yeah.
Or something, which is what I imagine they would do if they were wild animals.
There are specific dogs that do the mushroom hunting.
Oh, okay. I was not actually making a reference to that. That is just a happy accident.
Okay.
But like or like a pug, for example.
Yeah.
What's a pug's natural habitat?
Right.
How does it hunt?
It sure don't. It can barely breathe.
It's like it's so funny to me though that there's these animals that are just like so like integrated into our world, and yet they're mostly like all highly descended from wolves once upon a time.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, obviously selective, careful breeding and stuff like that have spawned all of the different variations that we know today. But so I was actually reading a little bit about this because I thought it was, I started on coyotes and then I was like, where do dogs come from? And as I started to like kind of pull back, basically the information was talking that like once upon a time, somewhere between 15,000 years ago and 40,000 years ago, there was like a specific type of wolf that is now extinct that had like two divergent lines that came from it.
Okay.
And one of those lines turned into like the gray wolf as we know it, and the other one turned into like dogs.
All other dogs?
All other dogs.
Okay. So the gray wolf is like this like harken back to prehistoric times or something.
Yes. Yes. Okay. But like, it's interesting.
It's like a shark.
It is like a shark.
Wow.
A land shark.
A land shark. Like the beer?
Yes. Jimmy Buffett.
Jimmy Buffett. That's highly, right. He worked it in.
Highly associated with wolves. Or AKA land sharks. Oh my gosh. New superhero idea. Land shark. He's like Wolverine.
Wolverine.
Oh my God. Not that's not even a good reference because a Wolverine is an animal in itself.
Yeah.
So that's maybe not the best example. What I mean by that is that it's more wolfish in characteristic.
So wait, is land shark's superpower the element of surprise?
I'm not saying it can't be.
Okay.
Although maybe I like the idea of the element of surprise being amongst the same superhero cohort as land shark. Like, so they're like the Avengers.
Okay.
But like, so you have the element of surprise.
Yeah.
Kind of like, imagine Captain America, but cooler. And then you've got land shark. Imagine Wolverine meets Remus Lupin.
Okay. Yeah. Right? There you go.
Right?
Right.
So like maybe like a shabby guy who's got like string holding together his briefcase, but he can also have blades come out of his hands.
Like land shark, but he has to be like wolf-like. Is the fact that, does anything shark-like factor into it, or is it just solely wolf because
wolves are land sharks? I don't think any further explanation is needed.
So there's no shark abilities.
But as a nod, he wears a shark tooth necklace.
Ah, okay. I like that.
Yeah. 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 It's trendy, you know? They're coming back.
He's shark tooth necklace is coming
back. Yeah.
Yeah.
So no, that's like his one nod to, you know, sharks.
Right. And his superpower is mostly just that he has like wolf instincts.
Jay, he hunts alone.
By himself. He is the gray wolf.
With his partner, element of surprise.
That's right. That's really how he actually gets all of his prey. He's just the distraction.
Right.
And
then
all of a sudden, boom! Element of surprise.
Element of surprise.
Comes in. It's amazing that now we have made even though we have a fun fact about coyotes section to the podcast, now we have a wolf-themed superhero.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
No one saw that coming.
They really didn't. They were like, people came into this episode and they were like, what'll it be today, boys?
Yeah.
A cup named Fred? No. No. Two new superheroes.
Two new superheroes.
This is the thing, though. Because so many superheroes' names are, like, copywritten, it's hard to come up with new good names.
Yeah, I think even like Elastigirl, they had like that was already taken. Or something.
Oh, and like it became like for the Incredibles.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it is actually, I'm kind of shocked Mr. Incredible wasn't already taken because it just seems like such low hanging fruit.
It does.
But it's interesting. I'm actually watching the television show now called The Boys.
Oh, on Amazon.
Which I feel like I just pronounced it like B-O-I-Z.
Yeah, the Boys.
The Boys. So far, I'm still not exactly sure who the Boys is, if it's supposed to refer to the Supes in the show or our ragtag band of misfits. Probably them, if I were to shoot my guess out into the world.
Okay.
But in the same capacity, the names for the superheroes in this show, like, they feel corny.
Right.
Like one of them is like the Deep, you know, and he's
the
like
Deep.
Like he's like Aquaman.
Oh, I see.
You know, but like the Deep.
The Deep. Yeah.
And it's kind of, it's like that's a dumb
a
name.
Shallow name.
Or like what else they have? They have like A-Train, who is like your speedster.
Mm, okay.
You know, like the A-Train.
Yeah, he's fast.
He's fast.
I get it.
I'm comparing it to the train.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get it.
I get it.
Nothing lost on you at all. But no, it's funny because I feel like this is it's such a problem that so many good, cool superhero names or all superhero names in general are terrible. It's just we know them to be cool.
Yeah.
Because we've been taught so. So like Spider-Man might just be like, really? Like that's what you came up with?
Right. Do you think, okay, like Superman then, do you think they're called superheroes because of Superman?
Oh, that's a good question.
Like, cause he,
like he's like the forerunner and then everybody around it, it's like, oh yes, like, it's like Superman. He's like, there are superheroes.
Right.
The element of surprise.
Yeah. Like they have superpowers similar to Superman.
I see.
Right.
Yes.
I wonder if that, yeah, is like Superman the derivative term for superhero?
I don't know.
Or were they like, let's make a new superhero and we'll call him Superman?
Could be that as well.
Because he has all the supers.
He does have all the powers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, similarly, in this show, the main guy, the main hero, so to speak, who is, I believe, not going to be the hero of the show from our perspective, our vantage point.
Right.
But he is a very, like, Superman-like quality. And
right.
I think, like, his only weakness is he can't see through zinc. And I was like...
Well, that's going to come into play.
Oh, well, that's obscure.
Yeah. Nobody expects Zinc Man!
Oh, yes. What does Zinc Man do? I like to think that he's a jeweler.
He's a jeweler?
Yeah, Zinc Man.
Zinc Man. I think it's just that, like, maybe this Superman, he's like, he just, the way he defeats people is just, like, by punching them in the heart or something, and he just knows where that is. But Zinc Man's heart is, like, in his foot, so he just, like, hit him in the chest. So he's like, wait a minute, that's not where your heart is, but I didn't know because I couldn't see.
I keep it in my foot.
Boom.
Element of surprise.
Element of surprise.
Maybe, okay, yeah. So if we were to continue on about our superhero, maybe situations like that would arise where, like, he doesn't even know how it's going to happen. Right. But, like, like, his physics can change in accordance with the circumstance.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah. This is why it's so OP.
It is very OP because it's just no matter what you're about to succeed at, you will suddenly be failing because of the element of surprise.
I hope we have everybody bought into this new plan.
Oh my gosh. We're going to like ruin this question is what's going to happen.
We're going to. Yes, we are.
Yeah.
We are. Well, all right, guys. Well, let's start a tidal wave of fun. In other news, I'm going to take a hard left turn into Christmas.
Oh, okay. Here on October 19th.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's never too soon.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to start by saying this. I think that there is the majority rules on Christmas music that literally flips every 3 years. I think nostalgia wins out for 3 years and then cynicism wins out for 3 years.
Okay.
And let me paint you a picture. So basically, every 3 years, it is either acceptable or not acceptable to start listening to Christmas music as soon as November starts. So if it's like November 1st on a year where nostalgia wins out, then everybody is like, yes, it is finally time to celebrate Christmas. And everybody's like all excited about it. And it's like, yay, Christmas music. I started listening to it right away. And then after 3 years, people are like, oh my gosh, can we please wait until after Thanksgiving? Please. We have another holiday between now and that one.
Right.
Like too soon, guys. Too soon.
Too soon.
I think that right now we are still existing maybe in what is the third year of nostalgia.
Okay.
So next year, my prediction would be, so this year, people will still be excited about Christmas music on November 1.
Okay.
But next year, no, sir.
No good.
No, sir.
Now it's too early.
People will be like, guys, come on. Can we just not? Can we wait? I'm tired of Jingle Bells already.
Right.
Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
It's all happening too soon.
Too soon.
Anyway, Christmas. So I started decorating this past weekend. We still have skeletons in our yard currently.
Okay.
But I have, since I've lived in my house, I think we talked about this on the last pop.
Yeah.
I've been like very excited about decorating it for Christmas because it's very Christmas, like house, no, gingerbread house shape.
This might have been an after the final pop, but.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, I'll catch people up. I want to decorate my house really well. And every year I've like taken steps to get closer to my ability to do this.
Yeah.
But part of the problem I always had was that like I didn't have a ladder that was even remotely tall enough to tackle the main roof line of my home.
Okay.
And if you can't get the main roof line, like, well, like what's even the point?
Yeah, it looks like you just copped out halfway.
Precisely. Mm. So like I was even thinking about like mom and dad's house and like dad will decorate the they have like a front porch area, you know, like with rocking chairs and the sort. And dad is able to, with like a mere 8-foot ladder, go and put all of his lights up on top of that like front like little roof line that he's got. Cinch. No probs.
Yeah.
But then he doesn't have to like worry about going any higher. Well, the center point of my house is a full top of 3 stories high.
Oh.
And so I'm going through and I'm doing the individual like clips per light bulb.
Okay.
So like each light bulb is held up with its own clip on the gutters.
Wow.
I know. Okay, it's going to look real good.
So everywhere you have gutters, you need light bulbs.
Anywhere you have gutters and anywhere you have like an edge of a shingle.
Okay.
Also, because the edge of the shingle also provides a space for these clips to fit.
Okay.
Okay. They're engineered for it.
I see.
Yeah. And so I'm like very excited. There's actually one house just down the street from me that every year they have like perfect lights. Like everything is like so situated and even and in a straight line.
Yeah.
And it's just absolutely fantastic. And so this
is trying to one up them.
Absolutely.
In true neighborhood fashion.
If this is not where Christmas lights were born from, like I'm convinced that at one point in time, somebody brought like a desk lamp out and put it in their sidewalk and they were like, hey,
look at this.
How festive. And then someone Christmas else was lights. Like, that's it. I'm putting two out there.
That's it.
And then, you know, before you know it, people are like, you know what? I'm going to wrap an entire tree.
Right. I'm setting it to music.
I'm setting it to music.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to have to worry about like planes landing in our driveway because there's that much landing gear involved.
Mm-hmm.
I think landing gear is actually the wheels, not the lit runway, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I see. I know what you mean.
Yeah. Right. So anyway, Alice could not believe that I was like so gung-ho about this, but literally like all I wanted to do all weekend was to get my bulbs, attach them to my clips, which you have to do inside the house. Like, do some prep work, okay?
You have to attach the clips to the bulbs inside the house?
Inside the house, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Instead of putting the clips and then putting the bulb on it, on the gutter. No. You do it inside, and then once you're up on the ladder, it's just like clip, clip, clip.
I am surprised you didn't buy bulbs that have clips on them.
No, as far as I know, that doesn't exist. And if it does, darn it.
Let me just tell you, Ben, that I have strung up lights around the deck, around my house for year round twinkle effect. If you're sitting out on the porch, you want to turn on some twinkle lights. Very nice.
It's I have seen effect. It's a very good effect. Yeah, I think I compliment you every single time I come over.
Thank you so much.
Looks so good.
Well, in the process of stringing them up, I was actually really, it was a very easy task because the people who lived there before me, I think, did something similar.
Okay.
And so they had like screwed in a bunch of little like hooks, like every 2 feet or so that I could just like rest the cord in.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Yeah. But every now and then I would luck out and one of the bulbs would line up exactly with where one of the hooks was. And there just so happens to be like a little clip on the back of every bulb.
Oh, sure.
And I was
sure.
Like, I don't know why there are clips on all these bulbs. Like, what would this be for? But every now and then I'd just be like, well, this is going to hold in place real well because the wire will sometimes get like blown off the hook, which isn't a big deal because there's so many. Sure. But there's like a little, just a little slump, in the lights. And I just got to go fix it.
Right.
But so it occurs to me that maybe there are lights with hooks on them or with clips on them.
Well, maybe not the hooks that I want, Jay.
Okay. Well,
you ever consider that?
I did not consider that.
I just don't want to have put all this work into something and not have it be worth it.
I'm sure it's going to be worth it. It's going to look really good.
It'll look really good. So anyway, I have a 22-foot ladder. And so I was like, okay, this is going to be perfect. I'll finally be able to do this. And yesterday, my neighbors across the street are sitting out on their porch watching me like struggle with this. I have like one of those little giant ladders that can be like folded and manipulated. So like it's just like, I can pick it up and walk around with it. I can put it back in my car. No problem. But you can also like extend it to be like really tall.
Yeah.
But like when it's really tall, very cumbersome.
Yeah, I see.
And I'm not very tall in the scheme of things relative to a 22-foot ladder.
Sure.
And so I'm like fumbling around with this thing like crazy, just trying to like prop it against my house to see whether or not I'm gonna be able to reach the top. And it's like 10 feet short.
Oh, not even close.
It's not even close.
Right.
So like at the very tip top of my ladder, if I was like standing on my tiptoes, which I would never do.
So dangerous.
So dangerous. I would still be 4 feet short of being able to reach the top of my roof. So Allie's like, well, you're just gonna have to go on the roof, which I'm like, there's no way I'm going on that roof. It is so steep.
Right.
So now I'm left with this problem of I'm gonna have to go in literally... I'm not even going to lie to you. I debated on like renting a bucket truck.
Yeah.
Because my first thought was like, well, that would be the easiest way to like get out there and have like one of those things that you could use to like work on a power line.
Yeah.
But like, you know, just go lift right up.
Right.
Super handy. Also seems very expensive for, you know, a day rental. So I was like, I could probably just rent a large ladder, which is in fact a thing.
Okay.
But a 32-foot ladder, you know, at best is going to be half that length, which is like 16 feet, which is like longer than my truck.
Yeah. Oh, so how do you transfer it?
Yeah. And so it's like, I'm like down this like total rabbit hole of problem after problem after problem. And I'm like, how do people do this stuff? Like, how committed are people? How much have I been underestimating the energy that people are putting into their beautifully crafted holiday home decor?
Apparently a lot. Well, I have some experience with a ladder situation, as it were. Our younger brother, when he bought his house, it happened to come with a giant ladder, the kind of which you are describing.
Yeah.
Come with meaning that the previous owners left it in the backyard. I assume because of the exact problem you're describing, which is
you can't how
do you
it.
Move it? Yes, it's a big problem. So anyway, one day at my old house, I went to go turn on the lights in the dining room, and for whatever reason, some bit of circuitry happened to just not be working.
It was on the fritz.
It was on the fritz, and it was not, it wasn't like, oh, switch the breaker, off, on, now it's back. And it wasn't just the dining room. It was like whatever was controlling this was like my bedroom, the dining room, and like the out. It was like this weird set collection of lights that just stopped working all at once.
Okay.
It was very, very annoying, especially, at night when it would get real dark.
Oh, yeah. I hear lights are useful at night.
You know how lights work.
Yeah.
Fortunately, my father-in-law is like an electrician by trade. So he came through and looked at it and he's like, well, I think we're gonna have to do this complicated thing where I run wires up the side of your house and blah, 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 fix this. And in the end, he totally was able to do it. But part of it meant he needed big ladder so we could reach the appropriate window.
Sure.
Yeah. And I knew Tyler had this ladder. And so part of the problem was indeed, how do we even get the ladder from Tyler's house to my house?
Not even a mile apart.
Not even a mile apart. And I mean, it was like we ended up just sort of like resting it on top of one of the cars, tied it down as best we could. But let me tell you that even in that little drive, there's tons of these tiny little hills. I mean, I thought for sure we were going to lose that thing.
Oh my gosh.
And then not only that, you think it was cumbersome moving your present ladder around. I mean, what? Even if you manage to get to your house, you're going to need a second person
just to set it up.
Just to set it up.
Huh.
Yeah, at least one other person. So good luck with that. I can tell you that having moved out of that old house, I too left the ladder.
No way. So it's just there. Can I just go ask the people? Be like, hi, my brother used to live here. Can I have the ladder back, please?
Yeah, it's in the backyard against the fence. It might be overgrown with weeds.
You may not even know it's back there.
You might not even know it's back there. Can I borrow it?
I will bring it back.
I will bring it back.
It's super funny because I was about to say, like, I don't understand why we're not taught more about ladders in school. And I've just finished watching the TV show Community where they like kind of hilariously have a class called Ladders.
Oh, do
And
they?
Now I'm like, I kind of get it.
I kind of get it.
Like,
ladders is like, hard.
Ladders is hard. And also, like, I was thinking about this yesterday because as I was, I went and pulled out my second ladder, my smaller ladder, to like plug it in so I could see if the lights were all working, which they were, thank goodness. That was like one of those where I had like spent like 2 hours doing this thing and I was like, oh my gosh, if it doesn't work,
yeah,
it's going to be such a bummer.
Right.
It worked. So that was all good. But it was actually funny when I was like carrying the ladder upstairs to take it outside. I was like, by owning this ladder, I have bought the ability to be taller. And I don't know why. Like, I thought that was just like it's like so interesting.
Mm.
It's like, it's a skill. It's a superhero power.
Is being tall?
Yeah. Like, we could have a superhero called the ladder.
Called the ladder. That's it. All he is just like 10 feet tall.
Well, or he can ladder himself. There are different types of ladders, folding ladders, extension ladders.
So he like unfolds into a taller person.
He could be a step stool if someone needs one. It's like, reach cereal on top of the fridge.
Yeah. It's like, do we have a step stool? I got you.
Let me go get ladder.
He just kneels down like a regular person.
Yeah. You stand on his back.
Like, I got you covered.
Yeah. We have a guy for that. We just use
you do anything else? just wait.
Yeah.
We're going to be in the middle of a fight and you're going to be like, oh no, I got my arrow stuck up an extra 8 inches and I can't reach it. I'll be like, I got your back.
Jay.
And then I'll be like, step on mine.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So, Obi-Wan defeats Anakin. How?
Oh, high ground.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. People at home thinking ladders. That's not useful. Okay. The reason you think ladders aren't useful is because we've become so accustomed to the idea that somehow, some way, our hero managed to get up on top of like a building. And it's like, how'd they get up there?
Yeah.
That's like, I want to watch the part where they're struggling because like the gutter came undone.
Yeah.
It's like Christmas Vacation where he grabs the gutter and like the ice is frozen in it and it shoots across the yard and
lands in Elaine's bedroom.
Yeah. Elaine from Seinfeld. Making a brief cameo.
Exactly. The weird villainous neighbor, sort of. Antagonistic neighbor.
Just kind of mean.
Yeah.
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 Why is the carpet wet? Todd. But no, it was so funny yesterday because hilariously the two things that I was doing was decorating for Christmas way too early and cutting a tree down that was in my yard that I had been leaning forever, and I had like an arborist come out
An arborist.
An arborist.
Like a, like you, a tree man?
Like a tree. I got a tree man, man.
You got a tree man, man?
Yeah. And so this guy came out and told me that it was okay because the tree was dying anyway. And I was like, okay. So the two things yesterday that I did was hanging Christmas lights in like an absurd fashion where I'm like almost falling off of ladders and like giving all this hilarious struggle.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, it goes quiet for a few minutes. And then I come walking around the back of my house with my chainsaw. And yeah. It's just like, ring!
Those are both scenes from Christmas Vacation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is that I am Clark Griswold.
Okay. All right. Where's your station wagon, man?
Good question.
Yeah.
I should get a station wagon, shouldn't I?
I'm totally for it. Yes, you should get a station wagon with wood paneling.
With wood paneling.
With wood paneling, Ben.
Man.
Yeah.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
Could it instead just be a van that I convert into a small home that I could drive around and live in?
No.
It's not the same?
That's not the same. That's not Clark Griswolding.
But okay, that's true. That's true. Fair point.
Yeah, okay.
I was just trying to think of a way to make this more fun. Station wagons are just, they're very station wagony.
Well, yeah, that's for sure. They are station wagony.
That is what they do.
Sort of their essence. A little bit. Okay, speaking of driving around in family cars.
Okay.
I went on a family trip this past weekend.
You did.
To Lexington, Kentucky.
Okay.
Yeah.
To see some family.
Yeah, we were visiting my brother-in-law and his wife in Lexington. I have to say, I really like Lexington, Kentucky. It feels like my spiritual home.
Really?
I mean, we've talked here about how I wish I was more involved with horses.
Right. Did you get closer to that goal?
Very much closer to that goal. And let me tell you, Lexington is like literally like the horse capital of America.
Okay.
Like, we went to the national, I can't even, man, am I going to remember the name? The Kentucky Horse, hold on. I can't even remember the name. We went to the place where old Kentucky Derby winners retire.
What? Like, that's a place? Like, the horses.
Yeah. Some of them are there.
Okay.
I guess maybe some owners just, you know, continue to keep them at their own properties or whatever.
Sure.
But there are multiple Kentucky Derby winners at this place. Kentucky Horse Park, that's what it's called.
The Kentucky Horse Park.
Okay. You walk in, there's these, you know, big horse statues. You have like this one of Secretariat off to one side, one of, it's called Man O' War, who I guess is...
A jellyfish?
No.
Okay.
I think when you think of like the most famous horses from like the Kentucky Derby, I think Secretariat is probably the one most people know.
Sure.
Right?
Is Seabiscuit not one?
I don't think so. I didn't see any Seabiscuitry at this place.
No Seabiscuits.
No.
Okay.
But so you have Secretariat, who I guess is maybe should better be known as the second most famous horse, because the actual most famous one is Man O' War.
The jellyfish.
The horse.
Okay.
And
I'll need correction every time just to be sure.
There is this massive statue of Man O' War that is like, it has this big, you can like walk 360 degrees around it, and he's buried there, like under the statue.
Aww.
Which is pretty, I guess, pretty cool. I guess he won like 20 out of the 21 races he was ever in.
Whoa.
Yeah. Really. They show you like, this was fascinating to me. They show you the stride of a horse, like back, like where their back leg is and then how far they travel before their back leg hits the ground again.
Okay.
And so despite years and years of horses, maybe they just haven't updated or maybe they're just trying to make a point, but they show you Man O' War stride and it's like 28 feet.
Wow.
Like at full speed. Like, can you, like, I don't think people can't long jump that far.
I was going to say, you know? that would be like world record status, I think, long jump distance.
Yeah.
So like if you had a huge running start and you were top in the world at a particular activity,
yeah,
you could maybe get about that distance.
About that distance. And then you'd be at a complete dead stop. This is how far a horse is traveling every couple seconds, like per stride.
Unbelievable.
That was really cool. But so anyway, we go to the Kentucky Horse Park, and I would say, I mean, this particular, yeah, facility, it's probably like, it's called like the horse center of America or whatever. But as far as the amount of interaction you can have with horses, I wouldn't say it was like top tier.
Okay.
Maybe if you own a horse, it's better, because there was plenty of people doing some sort of competition in like the big main center field.
Okay.
I don't know what that is. Is that like dressage or something?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Jay, you're the horse guy.
I don't know. I need to get more in. But there was some sort of competition happening down there. Those horses looked very fancy. But we went up to the big barn where you can see just a bunch of like very, I think they're called the drafters, I think is what it was. Maybe they're like training horses or something.
Okay.
But you can see like several different breeds of horses. Those were all really cool. And they had, had two of them out, and Luke got to go up and like touch them and stuff.
He has such a horse.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was very cool. He was like so excited about it, which was interesting because like as I'm standing, as I look around the room we're in, like if we had a horse in here, I feel like it would take up most of the room.
Most,
like,
yeah, for sure.
Like I think people think of horses as just like, yeah, domestic, right, you know, animals. Like if you're near a horse, it's big.
It's
you
huge. You know,
they are huge. They weigh a literal ton.
Yeah.
You know, they're big animals.
Right.
And Luke was just not afraid of this thing at all. I mean, you know, the horse's face is as big as Luke.
Takes after his father. Just a natural with horses.
Yeah, I mean, he was totally cool touching it. That was awesome. And then we went to another part of the park where he got to ride a horse, which was really cool. I guess technically pony, but man, that was a really cool experience too. He was like not afraid of it, just like at all. We put him on it, and they, you know, just say hold on to the saddle. And I think there was like one moment where I like stepped away to pick up the camera, and he was like suddenly like, oh man, I'm on like a really big thing. I want to get off. And then the moment it started going, he was like, this is fun. I'm good at riding.
Oh. You know?
Yeah, so that was really fun. It was very cool seeing like how excited he was about being on the horse at this horse interaction facility, as we called it in the last episode.
The horse interaction facility. Yeah, yes. Right. Yes, yes, yes. That yeah. is so fun. That is so, and okay. So then my next question is there any part of you that is like planting the seeds of future horse ownership? And it's like, you understand that like probably it's not the type of thing that you would like, maybe no anticipation of buying a horse like next year. Yeah. But like, are you any bit closer, or would you have any actual expectation of like possibly 10 to 15 years from now, you might actually own a horse?
I mean, I have no idea. Like there's so many things that would have to happen before that. I feel like either
more seeds to plant.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if it was, I don't know. I don't know. It's like, I don't even know if it would be very cool to own a horse, but it would be great if you had it in such a way where you had, you know, you like also owned the stable and could like walk out to the barn and go like hang out with the horse, as opposed to just like your horse lives at a stable where you rent space for it and you have to drive 20 minutes to go see it.
Oh, I see.
You know
what
I mean?
You have to have a horse. You have to have your own horse farm.
You have your own horse farm. Exactly.
Jay, you're thinking like me. I'm loving it. Nothing makes me happier than when you dream big.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, Lexington is the place to do it, because there are, I mean, you just drive around, there's just horse farms everywhere.
Okay.
And
okay.
So like, I mean, they need tons of space.
So if you had a horse, you've said you'd name it Popcorn at the Movies.
Popcorn at the Movies. Yeah. That's our horse.
What would its like name be around the stable though? Just Popcorn?
I feel like people would probably either call it Popcorn or like Pop or something.
Pop. Okay. Yeah. I'd probably name mine Helium.
Helium.
Yeah. You know, the element of surprise.
The element of surprise.
You get it? Because you put heliums in balloons.
Yeah.
You put helium in balloons.
And
balloons
pop.
Balloons pop at surprise parties. And like, you know, you have the pop, which is connective tissue between yours. And
I get it. Element of surprise. It looks like he's losing this race. But all of a sudden, boom!
People always underestimate the element of surprise.
Maybe you should just name your horse the element of surprise.
No, that would be its race name.
And that would be its race name.
Yeah, but we'd call him Helium around the stables.
Okay, so it wouldn't be like just like a shortened version.
No, his name would be Helium, you know, like about.
Yeah.
But like, you know, then his formal name is the element of surprise.
I got you.
Yeah. You're getting it. You're getting it.
There it is.
We're stringing it all together.
Okay. So there we go. We've named our horses in this episode.
We've named our horses, and maybe it also means that our band of superheroes ride on horseback.
Oh, that's fun. That's
right?
Fun.
It's a little different. People don't expect it.
Don't, yeah. They definitely don't expect horseback heroes. Not in 2020.
How useful is that? Useful.
Yeah. It takes a little while to get there, but maybe the horses have power. Powers, you know?
Do you think they'd be friends with coyotes, and that's part of the powers? Wherever they go, there are coyotes.
I don't know.
I'm stringing it all together. It's working.
Maybe in our fictional world, the coyotes can like open portals like anywhere because they're adaptable.
Because they have someone on the other side always, because they're everywhere.
Because they're everywhere.
Oh, coyotes are the best.
Oh, here we go.
Oh.
So we have coyotes open portals, which the horses then
travel through.
Yeah, travel through.
Right.
With our heroes in tow.
Our heroes in tow, of which we've currently named one, the element of surprise, riding on the element of surprise, aka Helium,
right.
And Landshark riding on Popcorn at the Movies, aka Pop.
Exactly.
Jay, it's all coming together.
It's all coming together.
This is how the best stories are written.
This is how this is it. Everyone would be like, how did they ever come up with this stuff? And be like, this is it. This is, you know, you're witnessing it.
Right.
You're like, listening to it at home.
In the future, when this is like a worldwide blockbuster phenomenon, and you're like, how did they come up with something so abstract and weird? You are listening to the origin story.
Here it is.
The moment. This is when it happens. Mm-hmm. Guys, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. It has been a delightful one. We've come up with so many great new things.
Yeah, I've come up with many new things on this episode of The Pop. This has been a good one.
I've been
enjoying it.
Yes, it has. If you guys would like to go and check out that new special offer that we have happening over on our Patreon page, we are fabricated metal person cards, which are going to be, you know, like laser engraved. It'll have all of our, you know, various titles abound. It will have the popcorn culture logo literally cut clean out of it,
right,
so that you can graffiti your notebook paper
exactly
with graphite pencil,
yes,
as much as you please. This is going to be available through October 25th, which is my birthday, and will come with any Patreon tier that we have available, all of which are the same cost. It's basically voting for who's the host.
Right.
Buzzy B.
Jazzy J.
You can check that out at patreon.com/popcornculture. Guys, and we also want to give a special thank you to these patrons who now support us on Patreon, including Jason Flower, Eden Landry, Emily West, Haley Vance, Melanie, Stephanie S. Stewart, Mia, Diana Lazo, Max Lazo, Thomas Benima, Mateus Dowville, Michaela Roby, and Jordan Dawson. Thank you guys so much.
Yes, thank you guys so much for all of your support over on the Patreon.
Otherwise, until next week,
pop, pop!